everybody today. Wouldn't that be good? Hey, did you remember at the beginning of the year, people like Glenn, you know, resident prophet, blah, 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 and other prophets were saying, this is the year of the unexpected. You remember that? And then one of those prophets who said that said, the Lord is quickening it to her again, that should expect the unexpected. It's now time to expect the unexpected. I read that on Friday, I think, and every day since, I just got up and said, I expect the unexpected today, and it's happened every day. There are some big things moving right now. Big things. So let's go and read. I'm going to let you read second chapter of 1 Corinthians in your own. We're going to go back to Samuel just for a little bit. We read in 22 how David was joined by everyone who was in distress and everyone who was in debt and everyone who was discontented. And they all gathered to him, and he became captain over them. Now they were about 400 men with him. And we notice on the next page there were 600 men. They were going pretty fast with the cast-offs. David was a captain of 1,000 in Saul's army, but now he's on the run. He's on the run on his own. We're going to go back and read some of these chapters between Goliath and 22, when the nation starts to reestablish. When was the nation dismantled? Have you ever read 1 Samuel? The nation was dismantled when Saul, who was anointed king, they cried for a king, and he gave them Saul. Saul was a big, tall, handsome dude. And Saul disobeyed. In his first battle, the Lord gave him victory, and he disobeyed the instructions. In other words, the king wasn't in the kingdom. And Samuel goes to him and says, did you follow the instructions, which was not to take the spoils for yourself, but to slaughter everything here? And Saul says, oh yeah, I did. And Samuel says, then what is this bleating of the sheep that I hear? Because he had disobeyed. And he said, oh, well, I did that because the people wanted me to do it. The fear of man is a snare. I think that's what Wenzel was getting at today. You start doing what people want, when God is saying something different, it won't go well. And Samuel said, God just took the kingdom away from you. Now, he took the kingdom away from him, but he was still king. Do you understand that? He was still king. You know, when life was removed from Adam and Eve, they were still breathing and walking around. But they died the day they took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They died. Their spiritual condition had changed. The natural will follow. What you execute in the spirit, if you are operating in the spirit, changes, and the natural will follow. Jesus said that over and over. He said, have faith in God. If any man says unto this mountain, be thou removed, any man, whosoever says unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his spirit, combining spiritual words with spiritual revelation and position, knowledge. But does not doubt in his heart, the way the scripture puts it. When you see heart, it means spirit first. It may mean your blood pumper in certain instances, like the spear went through his heart. But otherwise, when it says heart, has not all that has not entered into the heart of man, second chapter Corinthians says, all that God has for those who love him. Well, if any man says unto this mountain, be thou removed, I'm in Mark 11:23, be thou removed and cast in sea, and does not doubt in his spirit, but believes that what he says, Paul puts it this way, combining a spiritual thing, which is only known by the Spirit and revealed by the Spirit, with spiritual words. I like the way the King James puts it. He says, he shall have whatsoever he says, saith in the King James. He'll have what he's saying if he believes it. If he has faith in God and he believes it, it will change. When Samuel said, you're going to lose the kingdom, you've lost it right now, he'd lost it right then, but he was still going back to the castle and still getting, you know, the king's horses and all the king's men. And they went out to battle again and ended up in certain defeat against the Philistines until this guy, David, came along. Now, David was anointed in the meantime because the Lord said to Samuel, Samuel liked Saul, and he grieved over him. And he said, how long are you going to cry over Saul since I have rejected him? You know, sometimes we try to swim upstream against what God is saying. Now go and anoint one of Jesse's kids. And Samuel says, I can't. Saul will kill me. Because Saul had turned a bitter tyrant when he lost the Spirit of God and the anointing for king. He became a ruthless man. It's like a friend of mine. He had four sons and two daughters. The first daughter was named Eva, and the second daughter was named Ruth. And as they got older, both girls left home, and he became a ruthless man. Never mind. He pretends he's going up for sacrifice. He invites Jesse and a few other guys. And he says, okay, bring out the kids. And the first kids are big and tall and handsome like Saul. And God says, I don't want them. I'm looking on the inside. You're looking on the outside. And went through seven of them. And God says, nope, 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 nope. Was that seven? And he says, you got to have another one. He says, yeah, that's the runt of the litter. And he's out watching the sheep. Get him in here. And when he came in, the Lord said, that's him. So he anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and the Spirit of God, we read this a couple weeks ago, came on him mightily. He's now the king, spiritually. And that's why we're going to read some of these chapters in between 22, when the nation began to be rebuilt, the kingdom began to be rebuilt. But for a while there, it looked like it weren't going that way. Saul was running the show. The people recognized something in their spirit, but the church didn't. Can I put it that way? It's like what we read on Sunday about the healing. The people recognized something in their spirit. They were going around, they were walking around the lake, they were going back and forth to find this Jesus who, if they just touched the hem of his cloak, they could get cured. And the apostles still had no insight. Five loaves, two fish, 5,000 men. We're going to read how David went into the temple when he was completely alone. As the kingdom began to be established, and he went into Amalek, and we read a little bit about that. before, but Amalek was the priest, and he says, give me something to eat. She says, all we have here is the consecrated bread. He said, give me 5 loaves. David, who was not a big guy, they say he was 5'3" or something, wanted 5 loaves to fill his stomach. That's what Jesus started with, 5 loaves for 5,000 men. It should have been 25,000 loaves, plus women and children. But the little boy hadn't brought that many. Now, the priest says, okay, but where's all your men? Oh, I'm on an urgent mission. He wasn't on an urgent mission. He was saving his life. He was running from the guy who was trying to kill him. And that guy was the guy who had lost the anointing, and he had the anointing. He had the anointing to take out Goliath. But he would not take out the Lord's anointed. He kept calling him the Lord's anointed, even though he knew he had the anointing. If the Lord had anointed him, the Lord was going to deal with him. And he left it, and God dealt with him. But God didn't deal with him overnight. You know what David had to do? Yeah, he had to go to bed and he had to get up. On the run. With nobody. He says, is there any kind of weapons here? And Amalek says, there's only Goliath's sword. He says, oh, I like that one. Give it to me. I've seen it before. He gave it to him. He had no weapon. He said, well, I left in a hurry. That's true. He left in a hurry. The spear was in the wall and he was gone. Maybe we won't spend time reading all this, but it's good stuff. Read Samuel from 16 to 23. And you'll see that Jonathan recognized the spirit. It's an interesting passage. Because Jonathan's basically saying, I'll warn you if you can come back. And if you can't. Samuel 20, verse 24. So David hid in the field, and when the noon came, the king sat down to eat food. The king sat on his seat as usual, the seat by the wall. Then Jonathan rose up, and Abner sat down by Saul's side. But David's place was empty. We're waiting for David to come back so we can kill him. Nevertheless, Saul did not speak anything that day, for he thought, it is an accident. He is not clean. Surely he is not clean. It came about the next day, the second day of the new moon, that David's place was empty. So Saul said to Jonathan's son, why has the son of Jesse not come to the meal, either yesterday or today? And Jonathan then answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave to go to Bethlehem. For he said, please let me go, since our family has a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to attend. And now, if I've found favor in your sight, please let me get away, that I may see my brothers. And since he's the prince, that's not so bad. For this reason, he has not come to the king's table. Then Saul's anger burned against Jonathan. Jonathan and David were knit together when Goliath went down. And he recognized the spirit. Like those who got the healing, not like the Pharisees, and not even like the apostles who wanted it, but still had gained no insight from the 5,000 loaves. And after the 5,000, not 5,000 loaves, 5,000 men that were fed. And after that, the storm stops when Jesus gets in the boat. And they were astonished. 6 hours later, there's another miracle, and they're flabbergasted. You don't get astonished at the supernatural. You just get rejoicing and happy. But you expect it. It should be there. The supernatural, the power, the anointing, the presence should be there all the time, especially when you're in kingdom. And kingdom, the synonym for kingdom is mature church. But church starts when two are gathered together in my name. I'm there. That's kingdom. And he said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman. It wasn't my fault, he said. Do I not know that you are choosing the son of Jesse to your own shame, to the shame of your mother's nakedness, however that makes sense, for as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, neither you nor your kingdom, nor your kingdom, nor your kingdom will be established. He's saying, you're an idiot. We got to get rid of him, because Saul knew the kingdom had been ripped from him, and he was walking contrary to that word of Samuel. He was going to defy God and get away with it. It's sort of like the pro-choice movement. We're going to defy God, and we're going to see if we can get away with it. Well, he got away with it for quite a while. He had David on the run. He understood this. He said, Jonathan, you're an idiot, because you're recognizing David and he's taking the kingdom. And if you don't get rid of him, your kingdom will never be established. That's exactly what they said about Jesus. They said, if we don't get rid of him, he'll come and take our kingdom in our place. The Sanhedrin's place. The ruling council's place. So David fled. And in 21 he comes to the priest. And the priest says, well, that's David. Everybody knows who David is. Saul's killed his thousands. David his 10,000s. You can have the bread. It wasn't actually the sacrificial bread. It was day-old special sacrificial bread. They had warm new stuff. He gave them the old stuff. David didn't complain. He had 5 loaves. That's enough. I wonder if it was multiplied. Anyway, then he got the sword and he took off and he's alone and he goes over into the Philistine side. Acts like he's crazy, and so they don't do anything to him. Saul then goes and kills the priest, 85 in his household, because he's got a spy in there. Then he goes back and reports to Saul. There are people still whispering, spreading the rumors. They look for opportunity to accuse you. Do you know why? Because that's what they did with Jesus. They wanted to see if he would heal and do good on the Sabbath. They were looking for an opportunity to accuse him. It didn't bother Jesus. Because if you ever want to see a kingdom, all you got to do is find the king. And so he gets to chapter 22, and he's living in the cave, and his brothers and his father and mother come to him there. And then 400 worthless men. Do you remember what the 400 worthless men taught us? One, it's the kingdom that's going to get them somewhere. None of those in debt, discontented, and distressed mentally, emotionally, financially, socially, physically, distressed people were going to make life sweet on their own. Number two, there's 400 of them. Together they became a kingdom. And from that point on, this kingdom grew. It's a few years. He's married the king's daughter. The king's daughter let him down out of the window. Got to read the chapters. He said, my dad's going to kill you. The dad then took the daughter and gave her to somebody else. Later on, he gets her back. I think she was his first wife and his fourth wife, I think. So, when the 400 come, one, they joined kingdom. Two, they recognized what kingdom was. You had to recognize that in the spirit. David is alone in a cave with Goliath's sword and his brothers. That ain't much of a kingdom. But they recognized something in the spirit. They came, and none of them would have been anything on their own. Thirdly, David took them. David took them. There was no standard that you had to meet to get membership in that kingdom. There's a standard to get membership here. Pretty high standard. You got to come. But that's the standard they met. That's the fourth point. He took them and made them a kingdom. They came to the kingdom. You want kingdom, you don't sit there. And that's why I took off on that song, which is a good salvation song. You know, there's no mountain you won't climb up. There's no ocean you won't cross. There's no desert you won't walk through. Coming after me. Well, he's coming after you. The Spirit's coming after you if you don't believe. But when you believe, now you can see and you can enter kingdom. Kingdom's not coming after you. You go after kingdom. Those 400 people got kingdom, and the other 200 that came within a couple of weeks, they got kingdom because those 600 came after him. Come unto me, not you who need salvation, but all you who are distressed and in debt and discontented. Or shall I say, weary and heavy laden. If you're weary and heavy laden, you go find some kingdom and hook in. Hook in. Become one of the 400 useless, wasted, no good people that are going to be the mighty men of valor when they're finished talking about them. So he took them, but they came. And so we saw that on Sunday. The people who recognize it in the spirit, the sick, the lame, the halt, the demon possessed, they were coming after him, any place, city, village, countryside. Let's meet him in the market. Let's meet him when he's going for a Coke and a Timbits. Go get that guy. Can we have some of what you got? Yeah. You come unto me, I'll in no wise cast you out. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Do you think those 400 had to go to school and get a university education? They had to be willing and obedient. And they began to eat the good of the land. Do you believe if you're willing and obedient, you will begin to eat the good of the land? Do you believe that? Then start to walk that. Get up in the morning and say, I'm willing. Lord, I'm willing. You tell me today, and I'll obey. And I'm so glad I'm eating the good of the land. Until that spiritual thing is combined with spiritual words, you're going to have a hard time getting there. I like Jesus. He's a cool guy. He was a great teacher, a wonderful prophet. Man, could he heal? Say he was the Son of God and Savior of the world. I almost think that's true. I'd sure like it to be true. I'd like to go to heaven. With the heart man believes, and with the mouth he confesses unto. He combines a spiritual revelation with a spiritual word. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You got that from the Spirit. And you put it with words. And with those two things, spiritual revelation and words, we have the foundation, the rock on which the church, the kingdom, is built. Or let me put it this way. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, King, King, not healer, healer, not teacher, teacher, King, King, and don't do what I say? Because you got to get founded on the rock. You got to hear my words and start talking, walking it, obey it, Now you got some kingdom. Do you see the parallel structures in the spirit as we go through? Kim does, she'll explain to you later. And so these things happen before the storm. Can I put it that way? These things happen before the victory. You read for yourself. Read Samuel 17. 16 is sort of a flip, so never mind 16. 1 Samuel 17 through 22. You can go as far from 22 as you like, but you'll see the story of David. What I want you to see in the story of David is here is a guy with the Spirit mightily upon him, and he's running alone. And God's gathering a kingdom to him. And he takes the kingdom. And the kingdom isn't the one Saul gave him, where he sits at the king's table and he has 1,000 men working for him. And he goes and fights the king's battle. The kingdom is 400 useless rejects who come to a cave in the middle of nowhere and say, whatever you say, let's do it. And the first thing they did was they said, well, you're making a mistake. We can't go in there and take out those guys who are plundering that Israeli tribe. Those are Philistines, man. It's tough in Israel. You know, I was an outcast and I was a nobody in Israel. You want to go over there and fight those guys? And God went back twice to the Lord and said, are you saying go? And he's saying, go. And David had the smarts to say what Saul never said. Saul never said, okay, I don't have the kingdom anymore. Let's support the new king and let's get on with it. He said, I'm not giving up what I got. I'm not listening to the word of the Lord. And David said, I'm listening to the word of the Lord. He would have gone himself if they wouldn't go with him. But they recognized they were in kingdom now, and it was time to get off your butt and go with the kingdom and not be a straggler or a disobedient. Saul was proving how to be disobedient in a kingdom. David was proving how to be obedient in the kingdom. God gave Saul the horses and the castles and the palaces and the army. And he gave David 400 worthless, useless losers. It's amazing how God just, I don't know how he ever eked it through. Except the Spirit was mightily upon him. And David begins to write, Paul begins to write, you got to get it in your spirit. And you got to start to combine that with spiritual words. Which is what Jesus said in Mark 11, 23, 24. You got to get it in your spirit. And it's unstoppable. But he's talking to the Corinthians, who were just like all the other churches, persecuted. There was power running through them. They were still carnal. But they had to get off the carnal and on to the spiritual. They had to start seeing mature church. The synonym for mature church is the kingdom. Because the mature church has the gospel and the power. And that's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians, doesn't he? I came to you in demonstration of the Spirit and power. That's the beginning. So these 400 worthless men go out against the Philistines, who regularly beat them up and were beating up this little town, and they wiped them out. Because they went with the man who had the Spirit mightily upon him, and they were demonstrated the Spirit and power. There was never a battle lost by Israel when they were kingdom. But you know what you're going to read in here? Michael. You know who Michael is? That's the archangel. No, that was David's first wife. That was Saul's daughter. Okay. Eh? It's got an L on the end. Yeah. It's sort of like Bobby. It could be a guy's name. It could be a girl's name. You know, Michael. You could always mispronounce it to try and make it different. Mikhail, you know. But you don't like Bobby? How do you say it? Mikhail. It's kind of Russian, eh? Because that's your roots. That's kind of Slavic to me. Anyway, she says, "You got to get out of here. Daddy's going to kill you. Get out of here. Don't be found here in the morning." Okay? This is interesting, but what I found interesting was she lets him down out of the window. That's how Paul got out of town sometimes. This is kingdom. This is kingdom. Stop worrying about it. Kingdom isn't for show. Kingdom is for the spirit and power. David's on the run, but he's got the kingdom. And he runs, but what does Michael do? Ukrainian version, Mikhail. She goes and gets the household idol, which is about his size, and puts it in bed and covers it up. Saul's running with household idols. What kind of, you know, what's going on? This is the king. This is the high standard. This isn't somebody walking in with, you know, pierced ears and tattoos. This is somebody who's supposed to be the elite. But they've got the world. It's got a hold of them. The idols have got a hold of them. God didn't even care that much as long as they weren't worshiping them, it seems. Because he cared whether their heart was going to turn to him. You know, people come in here who do all kinds of things. The Bible says don't get polluted by the world, but they're coming in and they're doing drugs and getting short haircuts and all kinds of things. Yeah. Short haircuts. Well, you know, like, however you were led, right? I mean, there's things that people that do that the Lord is probably saying to certain people, you know, don't do certain. I mean, Samson got in trouble for a short haircut, you know? I'm not saying that there's any, you can't get too legalistic, but what I'm saying is he took all the distressed and the in debt and the discontented, and he wasn't worried about them getting fixed and getting proper before he let them in the kingdom. David took them. We have to learn that as a church. And when those people started to obey, which took two times around, we're going to go in there and fight these guys. No, we're not. Who do you think we are? We're the losers who just came to you. I'll ask again. No, we're going. Okay, we're going. We came here because you're the king. We're going to keep walking that way. Because they kept walking that way, they became the kingdom. Let's pray. We got time to pray for people. We're going to lay hands on everybody tonight. So you can all be blessed.